Welcome, everyone, to the Mongols Preview Show, brought to you by Roughneck Scarves. Tonight, we're talking week three of the USL season and the Riverhounds' upcoming derby match against Penn FC. I'm Mike. Joining me this evening is Justin. Before we welcome Chris Bratton, who covers Penn FC for the Brotherly Game, John Krasinski was able to catch up with new Riverhound Andrew Luban and head coach Bob Lilly after practice today and got their feelings on this weekend. Let's have a listen.
All right, Andy. Well, welcome to Pittsburgh, first of all. What's the overall emotion just kind of like signing a contract? I guess last week it was official, you know, that you're officially a Riverhound, but what's the emotion of just being a part of this team?
Yeah, I'm really excited. Bob's a guy I have a lot of respect for, just playing against his team and following a bit. So I'm really excited to be a part of the team. I'm from 2 hours north in Erie, so I grew up playing all over this area. Mm-hmm. So kind of to come home a little bit and play in front of some friends and family and a great core group that we have here with the coaching staff and players, I'm really excited.
Yeah, no, that's what I was going to ask you. I mean, you were in San Francisco last year. You've been in the USL at other places, Harrisburg and some other places. I mean, you know, just, I guess, will you have a big a group out here for a lot of the home games? Or?
Yeah, it'll be exciting. I got a lot of friends who went to Pitt. Actually, my old coach from Wake Forest is a head coach there, family here, kids I grew up playing with. So they'll try to make it to a lot of games. A lot of my friends are asking for tickets, which is exciting.
Yeah.
And hopefully we can put a good product on the field for everyone to enjoy.
Yeah, and a little, since you brought it up, you know, Jay, obviously, you know, taking over at Pitt is just kind of it's only been a couple of years, but there seems like a lot of positive momentum over there. What does Coach Vidovich mean to you as a player? And I, you know,
I spent a lot of time at Wake. Obviously, his resume at Wake kind of speaks for itself. Mm-hmm. So he's a guy who's influenced my game a lot, and I'm grateful for a lot of the things he's done for me in the past.
Yeah, and you played as a high school player. You traveled quite a bit at that age, and had some of the experiences overseas and with the I think it was the Brad Friedel Academy, and you know, so just talk about some of those experiences, how they helped you as a player.
Yeah, I think every place you go, you learn a little bit, and you take what you like with you, things you learn, things that work for you. So I've had some really great experiences. I was grateful for Brad for bringing me into the academy and then sending me over to Europe. I had a great year there in Europe my junior year, learned a lot, but ultimately decided I wanted to come to the U.S. for college. Went from there, came to Jay, got a great soccer education there as well, so I've been pretty fortunate with some great opportunities.
So what did you do your senior year? Were you at Columbus Crew, or was
I actually skipped. I was at the Brad Friedel Academy, so we played with Columbus Crew. But after I went to Europe, I decided I wanted to come to college, and it worked out because I was ahead with my coursework that I could skip my senior year of high school.
Wow.
So I enrolled at Wake a year early.
Yeah, wow. And then, you know, some of your experiences in USL, obviously, you've had, I think, more than 30-plus appearances.
Sure.
As a player, going from Wake and then to USL and those experiences, I mean, how have you grown as a player in that time?
Yeah, I think anytime you come to a new club, there's a tiny adjustment period, and it's on you as a player to adjust as quickly. So Bob has a little bit different style, obviously, than a lot of coaches I've had. But I've had a lot of respect for him as a coach and a manager. So I'm adjusting. I think I'm picking it up pretty quick. But obviously, my experience playing against him, playing against teams in the USL, just being around is always a net positive for a player.
Yeah. You also mentioned earlier, too, about, you know, you're from the Erie area, but you've probably played many tournaments and just been in this area a lot. What is your impression of just this area, the growth, what Highmark Stadium is here, and just the growth and really the potential that soccer has in this area?
Yeah, it's been really cool to see. Even my first professional career, actually, I stopped here just to train a little bit. And then even just comparing that week training versus to where it's at now, it really is almost night and day. Everything's kind of coming along from the front office. The owner's been around. He's putting a lot of money in, it seems, coaching staff, players. It's an exciting time in Pittsburgh, and it feels like we're all moving in the right direction.
And finally, your kind of what Bob's expectation of you is going to be in terms of a role with this group. I know you came in late. I think you came in late at Nashville. What's your role? What has he told you? What does he expect from you? And
I think he expects, like with any player, you always have to be ready. And if you prove yourself, he's going to be honest. He's an honest, fair coach. So it's really on you to train well, perform well, and then at the end of the day, it's on his decision to do what he thinks is best. So that's where I'm at. I got to control what I can control. And then when he thinks I can contribute to the team and help him do well, I'll be ready to do so.
Yeah, and then I guess kind of to add to that, the you know, where you fit in, I guess kind of like midfield, like from like a, more of a wing, an outside player? Is that more kind of your role? Or
I think my best position is as a wing back,
right.
But I'm comfortable in a lot of formations and a lot of different mm-hmm. situations. So I'm a guy who I think can do a lot for a team, and it's just a matter of seeing where the manager thinks you fit in and helping the team as best you can.
And finally, I get one final question. I keep belaboring it, but the Keystone Cup, Derby Cup, I mean, you were actually a part of it when it first started, that first year in 2015, right?
Yeah.
Were you here for the Miracle on the Mon game?
Or? I was not. I came right after. So I played once here, and I played once here and then once again in the playoffs.
Okay.
So
you played that game, the comeback game that Harrisburg won.
Yeah, we were chasing. It was a really exciting game. We got one. I think we had the better of the chances. We were just an inch or two with a couple of chances to tying it up. But it was a really fun game to be a part of, a lot of excitement and a lot of good attacking football, which was exciting.
So this Keystone Derby Cup is something that's now 4 years in, and just, again, to be a part of it on the other side, it's just got to be exciting.
Yeah, it's cool. I think it reflects, again, the growth of the game in Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. I think there's a decent amount of buzz. It's exciting. Mm-hmm. The game is growing at all levels, especially in the Pittsburgh area, so I'm excited for it.
All right, we'll look forward to seeing you on Saturday.
Thanks.
All right,
so
thanks. It was nice meeting you. Maybe just talk about this week's training and just kind of where you guys stand right now in terms of the health and everything like that.
We're pretty healthy. I mean, we, you know, Ben Fitzpatrick just had surgery for sports hernia, so, you know, he's been out. You know, it's disappointing, but, you know, surgery went well. You know, we have a few guys with nicks and knocks, but no serious injuries other than Fitzpatrick being out, which is nice for a home opener to have.
Yeah.
You know, Hugh Roberts missed last week because of a wedding, so he's available as well. So,
you must have been real pleased with that three in the back that you had, plus, you know, your wingmen. I mean, that seemed to work out pretty well.
Yeah, the second half, we found our rhythm. I mean, I think we tried to play more. And, you know, I think for us, you know, we want to be able to play a number of different ways week to week. You know, but I think that's going to be a mainstay of our team, that we have different types of personnel that will allow us to, you know, not... You know, we didn't make any major. It looked like we may have made adjustments at halftime because we played better. But I think it was the players just being a little bit more committed to getting forward and being dangerous.
That's exactly, you know, what Toby
that's
said.
All, you know, it wasn't any miracle strokes. But we told him that. Look, you know, if you want to go forward, it's there for you. You just got to be willing to go do it. You know, they're not gonna, you know. And I think, you know, Harrisburg posed a lot of problems for Charleston on the road and buttoned that game up.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to try and do that here in all likelihood. So we're going to have to take initiative from the start, hopefully, this week that we didn't take, you know, necessarily in the first half in Nashville.
And that was, you kind of answered my question a little bit, but you saw them in the preseason, I think, a lot. They're a lot different.
Absolutely.
After that first game, right?
Yeah, they are. I mean, I think it's dangerous for us to try to project extrapolate anything from preseason.
I mean,
the reality is they have capable players, they have some experienced guys, they're going to be tough to break down, and they're going to look to pinch a goal here or there. We're going to have to keep our concentration, but I also think we're going to have to be a lot more assertive playing at home. You know, in Nashville, you can go on the road sometimes and work your way into a game because the pressure and the expectations on the home team, you know what I'm saying? Well, now you're at home, and, you know, we don't want to let the game expire. Like, we don't want the game to pass us by.
Yeah.
You know, and I think we were able to kind of keep Nashville quiet in the first half and then raise our level. know, we don't want Harrisburg to come in and be able to do that same thing to us. We need to be generating chances and staying aggressive from the opening whistle.
And hopefully this can be a home field advantage. I know we talked a little bit about that in the offseason, but, you know, the excitement of the opener and all that.
It can be, and we have to, you know, we have to dictate play here for sure.
Yeah.
Every road game is going to present different challenges, but when we're playing here, it's our turf. You know, we want to be on the front foot and we want to boss the game. You know, and I think that's our expectation, and that's hopefully what the fans want to see is us staying super aggressive on both sides of the ball, not just offensively, but defensively, you know, getting in people's business, you know, and closing the game down and being aggressive. I mean, I think if we can do that, we have a roster that will have a lot of success.
Yeah.
It takes a lot of work. It takes a strong mentality, but that's who we want to be, and, you know, that's, you know, you know, we get another chance to show that this week, and we're at home in front of our fans, so that's a positive for us. We're all looking forward to getting the season started here at Highmark.
Can't wait. All right, thanks.
So great stuff as always from John. Let's dive into Saturday's match and welcome Chris. Chris, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So for starters, everybody can go check out your stuff. You write for the Brotherly Game. So are you a Penn FC fan, or do you just cover them for Brotherly Game?
Well, I'm a Penn FC fan. I was watching them as the City Islanders before I started writing with Brotherly Game. I guess Brotherly Game had a City Islanders correspondent because City Islanders were affiliated with Philadelphia Union up through 2015. And then I guess after 2016, that guy had moved out of the area, so he wasn't covering them anymore. So they were just looking for somebody to pick up on it. And I had noticed myself in the, like, 2015, 2016 that, like, there's a lot of questions I would have as far as, like, who's that guy? Where is he from? You know, what are we doing this year as a team? And there's just hardly anything out there. Mm-hmm. And so when Brotherly Game offered, it's like, hey, would you write about it? And I gave, you know, like, a writing sample. It's like, this is about how good I can write. And they were like, that's great. Go for it. So I've been covering, you know, I started writing about them last year, and I kind of just picked up on it more and more. And now I guess last year was the writing, and this year I'll be writing and podcasts, hopefully, you know, forward, just starting with that.
Sweet. Awesome. I'm actually, my MLS team is the Union, so definitely follow the Brotherly Game a little bit just to, yeah, follow the Union. So kind of jumping into Saturday's match then, you guys played last weekend, Penn FC played last weekend and lost 1-0 to Charleston. You guys had 3 shots, nothing on target though, 55% possession. What were your takeaways from that game? And it seemed like maybe the offense struggled a little bit in the final third. So is that more to a good Charleston D or Penn FC's offense kind of working out the kinks? What do you guys think? What was your takeaways from last weekend?
Well, if I look at the really big picture and try and find some positives, last year when Harrisburg went to Charleston, they lost 4-0. So for this year to go down there and really be in it and only lose 1-0, you know, that's an improvement. It's like last year they got
baby
beat.
Steps.
This
baby
year
steps.
They lost. Yeah. This year they just lost. It's like, you know, with 55% possession, if they had gotten the offense working, you know, an equalizer could have happened. I mean, if they had the offense working, you know, they really controlled possession, and they didn't give Charleston too many good looks. That, you know, they gave up the goal that, you know, slipped into the box, and then Crow won for the far post. It was a great shot that they, you know, they still the defense should have stopped it, but it was a great shot by Charleston. And then there's only really one other, they only had one other good chance the rest of the match. So keeping them down like that is a positive sign for the defense, because they gave up way too many goals last year. But then the other takeaway, like you had said, in the final third, just nothing was happening. And I feel like, I mean, it's hard to tell watching the stream. You only get what shows up on camera. Mm-hmm. But it felt like the chemistry wasn't there. They got to work that part out. None of these guys, hardly any of these guys, were playing together last season. Mm-hmm. And so this is the first time I really put them out there for 90 minutes. They didn't really have the chemistry yet. People were zigging when they should have zagged type thing. You think like, okay, I'm going to pass. This is where he's going. But it's like, this time they're not clicking yet. And so that is why they only end up with three shots the whole match is the impression I got. And I mean, Charleston's not a bad defense.
Right.
They only gave up one goal to Cincinnati. I think they kept Cincinnati in check for most of their match the week before. So it's not a huge problem if they're not getting a lot of shots against Charleston. But then, yeah, it's just like you wanted to see that last little bit. It's great to see that they could hold possession because they weren't great with that last year either, to be able to win possession and really move it through the midfield into the like Charleston's territory side of the field. But then for it to just keep petering out and never actually putting a shot on, that's really stepped out as like the number one thing to start working on going forward. Because if that, you got to actually put a shot on goal. Yeah, that's step one.
Yeah, I think it'll be interesting, and we'll get into more of the game here as we get through this. But these are both teams that have only played one game so far, and we're in week three. And I think the Hounds were doing a little bit of trying to gel last week too. So this may end up being a battle of who can gel the quickest, and who could take advantage of the other side maybe not gelling as quickly. So something else that these two teams have in common is that we both went through a bit of a rebrand this offseason, but both did it in very different ways. What's your thoughts on sort of Penn FC no longer being Harrisburg City Islanders and their approach to the rebrand?
Well, I like, as far as the approach, I really like the ultimate approach they're going here. When they first unveiled it back in November, it was just kind of, it was really jarring because, I personally like the City Islanders thing. I'm from Central Pennsylvania, so I knew that City Island was a place. Mm-hmm. And I kind of knew that from back in the day, when you started a soccer team in 2004, you could call it something like Harrisburg City Islanders because it's not like anybody from the other places are coming. It's not like somebody was coming from Dayton or Bermuda to come to Harrisburg to watch these matches. The only people coming were the people in Harrisburg, and they knew what City Island was, so what's it matter? But then as the league has changed so much, just since the USL Pro years, you kind of had to realize, being the City Islanders, hearing all the other, broadcasters calling them Harrisburg City all the time, it's like, no, they're not the Harrisburg City Islanders, they're the Harrisburg City Islanders. Yeah. Like they didn't, it got pretty tiresome. So they're starting to stick out like a sore. They were like the Kansas City Wizards, yeah, sticking out like a sore thumb. It's like and you knew it was inevitable. They did that sort of half rebrand in 2016, mm-hmm, where we were City Islanders FC for a season that, for reasons that were never made all that clear. And so you knew a real one was coming. And when it first went from something real specific, City Islanders, to something pretty generic as far as Penn FC, it was real just a complete 180, mm-hmm, for that kind of thing. It was a little jarring, but since they've really brought everything in, I think it helps kind of establish a place for them going forward, because I didn't realize as a fan how much was going to change going from just being D3 to D2, like, mm-hmm, all of the requirements. All of a sudden, your coach isn't educated enough. It's like, what? Why do I'm paying like $8 to go to this game. Why do I care what kind of license the coach has?
Yeah.
All that stuff that factors in all of a sudden. That's the kind of stuff they had to account for, that you got to, that now that they're Penn SC, they have this affiliation with Rush Soccer. It makes sense, I think, for the Central Pennsylvania area, because if you're trying to have something to anchor the future on, I think anchoring youth soccer around here is pretty smart, because there's a real big youth soccer presence in Central PA. There's a lot of guys coming out of here. Mm-hmm. Historically, you got like Andrew Wenger, Bobby Warshaw, Colt Storm, Connor Maloney, why not
Keegan Rosenberry?
Christian Pulisic.
yeah,
Keegan Rosenberry. He's the big one, but that's a whole other thing. But there's all this, Pennsylvania Classics, all this stuff for the youth soccer in the area. So if this becomes a team that like all the youth soccer people can affiliate with, I think that could be a good thing to really provide a really strong base of support compared to, I don't know, I do some stuff like the supporters group, and I see stuff online where people talk about trying to bring in, there's a lot of soccer fans who are 100% support your local team.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of soccer fans who are also like, I refuse to watch any team except for this specific Premier League team,
mm-hmm.
and will turn up their nose at every single other type of soccer, and will get their friends to agree with them, you know, that type of thing. It's hard to appeal to those guys.
Yeah.
It's like, you can't get those guys to come up and imagine it. But I feel like youth soccer, it's like, yeah, you can actually get people out there. And to have that feature, like, just already the connections that have come through with this rebrand, I mean, every day the changes are coming. I mean, this, even today, like with what happened today, I never would have expected that just for the Harrisburg City Islanders now. It's like, but with Penn FC to make such a big free agent signing, I guess they go hand in hand. So if that's what comes along with rebrand to Penn FC, I'm on board.
Well, I guess my question is it clear what the partnership with Rush is actually going to provide to the team? Because obviously, you know, the new logo sort of hints at sort of the R from the Rush logo. But is it clear how tight that integration is going to be, what that means in terms of funneling development up through? Because one of the things that we see with the Riverhounds Academy is our academy is amazing and we're churning out great players all the time, but there still is this gap between the academy and the first team. And it seems like with a lot of the MLS 2 teams, you have more players bridging that gap because the whole reason why they have the academy and the USL team is to feed the MLS team. So they want to keep them in that system. Whereas non-MLS 2 teams like us, like you guys, there's less, I don't want to say there's less incentive for players to jump up to the pro level, but it almost seems like you have more kids that are in the academy to try to get college scholarships to go off and further their education and continue playing through that. So is it clear at this point, it may not be because it's early, but what the partnership with Rush is actually going to potentially provide for the first team?
I would say no. Okay. As far as like what it really means, when I first did it in November, like I put together, it's like, I think it's this thing. And then like a month later, it's like, oh, it's totally not that thing. So then it's like, well, it must be this thing instead. And no, it's not that either. Like some people thought that they were saying that it's going to be all Rush kids, like that Penn FC this year was going to be a bunch of 17-year-olds. And it's obviously not that. And then I thought, well, it feels like it's probably going to be they're trying to get people who have a Rush experience or were in a Rush academy when they were younger, get a bunch of them in and then get all the Rush kids across the country to cheer for them. And it hasn't really been that. There's only 3 Rush guys on the team right now. And with the people they're bringing in, they're not really, yeah, they're just not really Rush guys or they haven't had any sort of specific connection to Rush soccer in the past. So it's, I think the thing I've seen the most, because with the last game, they had a lot of like the Rush groups across the country, like going on Twitter and like saying, hey, we're cheering for Penn FC, that kind of stuff, is I think behind the scenes, they're like assigning like a pro player to each like Rush Academy, like Virginia Rush, Colorado Rush gets a pro player that will probably visit them at some point and or is going to be the one like they're assigned to cheer for almost. And so that's their like connection to the pro team. And then years down the road, if these kids like USL, if somebody's looking like they're going to go number one, the MLS draft, just because they're a Rush kid, they're not going to skip out on that so they can go play for Penn FC. I don't think that's what anybody's thinking. I think they're thinking that, like, with if the number of kids that are coming out who remain undrafted or get drafted in the low rounds and not signed, if they have Rush experience, I think it's going to try down the road, get more of them to try and be like, hey, you know, come to Penn FC. You're going to have the same sort of Rush philosophy that they'll be able to integrate with much more easily and then have more time with the pro team that maybe spend a couple years with that pro team and then have a jumping off point to if they're really talented, bigger and better things.
Gotcha. So you had mentioned your coaching change as well, and the a little bit about licensure too. Was that what prompted the coaching change this year, or was that more to do with Rush, or what kind of prompted the coaching change there for Penn FC this season?
Well, yeah, Pittsburgh's change was like he didn't have a FIFA A license, right? Isn't that what the D2 thing was?
Yep.
Yeah, and I think that's what it was for Bill Betcher as well. I don't think he had a FIFA A license so he couldn't continue being a Division II coach. As far as I know, no one's explicitly stated that. That's what I think is how it happened, because no one ever said that he had one, and I don't think he did.
Are you happy?
I mean, it wasn't like he had a very hot seat or anything.
Right. I was going to say, are you happy with the change?
Yeah, I think, Raul's only had one match here, mm-hmm. but he seems like a nice guy. There's a lot of excitement. Like, the Tampa Bay Rowdies people, seem to be like, sad to lose him. So that was a good sign.
Mm-hmm.
And with what he's seen so far, it just seems like, an energetic, youthful guy who's getting out there and getting involved with the players, which, Bill could do, but Bill was also like old school in a cool way where, he's been around playing soccer for longer than like these twice as long as people have been alive type thing.
Mm-hmm.
But he wasn't getting out there and really, running around the same way that, like Raul can. So it's just exciting to try something new. It was a bummer, but I'm glad to see that Bill is still around. That Bill didn't have to leave in any sort of like it wasn't a bad separation. He still gets to be a technical advisor. He's still around because, having him is what made soccer in Harrisburg possible for all those years. So it's good that he's still a part of the organization.
Oh yeah. No doubt. You want to make sure that you sort of, I don't want to say honor and respect some of the guys that have come before, but especially with some of these old guard teams, which we'll talk about the old guard here in a minute. You mentioned sort of the big news that came out today. Why don't you share the news with everybody who may not have heard it and tell us what your thoughts are on whether or not you think that'll have an impact on the game this weekend.
Yeah, sure. So I was just coming back from break at work, and then I was like scrolling to Twitter. It's like Tommy Heineman signed by Penn FC, and it was like I just didn't see it. I followed his story, went the whole mm-hmm. signed by Cincinnati, cut by Cincinnati, grievance with Cincinnati thing, and then I hadn't really thought about it since then because I just a top free agent like that. That, because Cincinnati was snapping up everybody they could back in November, December, because they can do that.
Mm-hmm.
And so somebody that they were going to be gunning for, Penn FC, not, I was about to say not in the same league, which obviously they're in the same league, but, not really as far as what you can offer to a player like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so for him to suddenly end up with us, it's like, that just didn't, in the years past, it just didn't seem possible. It seemed like we had to kind of put a team together with who was left. And so he ended up being, the person who was left this year, but to have a real, have a big player like that just surprised me. And as far as impact for this weekend is really undetermined. I don't know if he signed and will be joining. I mean, he's in Harrisburg now, like the city of Harrisburg, but I don't know. So I don't know if he just signed or if he was like trialing for a little while. Cause the whole issue with him was is he injured? Is he not injured?
Right.
He said he wasn't, the team said he was. And so there's a video on Facebook that seemed to imply that maybe he'll try and get out there Saturday, but definitely that they'll try and get him out there for the home opener.
Mm.
Gotcha.
Gotcha. Maybe he won't show up. I mean, if he does, it'd be great because of the offensive problems that we discussed. Having him out there, along with Lucky Moxana, just those two up top would be great. But don't know. I can't say if he's going to be there Saturday. I guess we'll just know. We'll find out soon enough. I'd love to see it, but
exactly.
If he's not 100%, don't rush him out there, especially also. Not knowing how much he's been practicing with the team. Right?
Sure. A question. who would you, or maybe even who would the Capital City Crew, who would they kind of consider their bigger rival? Do you think it's Pittsburgh, or do you think it's Bethlehem Steel?
It'd have to be Pittsburgh, because it just goes back further. There's just so much more there. Bethlehem's closer, but yeah, it's just newer. You don't have the same, it's just not the same history.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, they don't have a cup.
Well, I mean, I could hear arguments for both.
They don't have a cup that they're battling for, like us. I know they desperately want to be included with the Keystone Derby Cup, but they're not. But you had mentioned as well, or somebody, we've talked a lot already. We talked about the Old Guard Shield, I guess. You know, obviously you guys are still sort of involved with that. We lost Rochester as one of the teams that are battling this year. I guess, what are your thoughts on just the Old Guard Shield? Do you have any front runners in mind? Do you think that Penn FC can compete and potentially win it this season?
Well, I think it's important to have because, you know, following the Old Guard Shield on Twitter, you'll see like they'll just post a standard update and then some team or somebody who like supports like Indy or like North Carolina will come in. It's like, hey, we've been around a while. We should get in on this. Mm-hmm. And just, I just always sit there and be like, no, you weren't there in the Wild West USL Pro days where there's teams from Puerto Rico that just stopped playing. And the one year where there was a team from Antigua that lost every single match, like you weren't around. You don't get to just come in and be a part of our Old Guard Shield. The only team that would have an argument would be, the Los Angeles Blues, Orange County, but they never play us, so it'd be pointless to include them.
Yeah.
But as far as for this year, I mean, I'm sure I'm not the first person to propose this, but Pittsburgh has kind of slid into Rochester's chances as far as winning.
You mean
I feel like they have a solid chance.
The Pittsburgh Rhino Hounds? Is that what you're implying?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, just that, like, everyone's estimation of Pittsburgh is just flopped into Rochester.
Yeah.
Like, Rochester's always like, yeah, they're going to win, they're going to get a lot of points, and they're going to be, like, a top four team. Mm-hmm. And now that Rochester, everyone just put Pittsburgh in that slot.
Yeah.
I mean, as far as, you know, for the Eastern Conference, and then I feel like also for the Old Guard Shields, so they got a chance on top of, you know, Charleston being weakened by a lot of their best players getting snatched up last year. So now they're a little bit lower. I watched some of Richmond's game against Bethlehem, and that wasn't very encouraging.
Yeah.
So I feel like their chances are low. So I feel like Penn FC, I mean, well, they had a bad start by losing to Charleston. So that puts them in a hole right off the bat. But I feel like they can compete. They're going to have to get good form against these old teams, which in recent years they really haven't. Penn FC, you know, even last year against Richmond, you know, Richmond was close to the bottom of the table. But Penn FC only, like, a win and a draw against them. You know, last year on the table, Pittsburgh and Penn FC were pretty Harrisburg last year were pretty much the same spot on the table, but Pittsburgh got two wins over Harrisburg. It's the sort of like these Old Guard Shield teams we always struggle against. And so I would say, you know, I wouldn't put them as the front runners, but there's so much changing every day with Penn FC that it's just like, who, you know, the team that could be playing in a month could have I don't know how many new faces at this point. So if they start clicking like they have the potential to, yeah, I feel like they'll be in the running for it. But I wouldn't put them as favorites right now. I'd say probably Pittsburgh or Charleston are the favorites for this year.
Yeah. So three just like kind of quick questions that all kind of go together. What makes you most optimistic about this team? What makes you nervous about Penn FC this year? And what players should the River Hounds fans be looking out for this Saturday?
Okay. For optimism, I mean these signings that are coming in. We hardly brought back anybody from last season, which, I mean, based on how last season went, was kind of expected. But for them to really go out and make a run for some of these NASL guys that were freed up is pretty exciting. Mm-hmm. So that makes me optimistic, you know, with Heinemann just being the most recent example, but then you picked up Lucky Moksana from the Cosmos, Richard Menjivar, I think he was from the Cosmos as well. And then a couple guys from FC Edmonton, Mauro Stacchio and Pedro Galvao, they're some pretty strong defenders or defensive midfielder. It was, you know, picking up really solid under the radar type guys from the NASL, who, whereas in the past, like, it was guys who they filled out the team a lot with guys who are under the radar kind of for a reason sometimes, where it's like, I feel like optimistic, like some of these guys, like, well, look at, I feel like some of them could really perform, and like guys I'm excited to watch this year, you know. We're early on. It's still exciting to see some. I want to see some of these guys play because I didn't get a chance to see them very much here in the preseason. But what makes me nervous is the same thing that's made me nervous ever since they moved into FNB Field, which is that when you play on a baseball field, you're at the mercy for scheduling of the baseball team, which is why Penn FC's schedule is a little wonky. There's a lot of Saturday, Tuesday, Friday, Monday type home back-to-back games, which I worry leaves you open to injury, because Harrisburg had so many problems with injuries last season. And so if you're starting a lot of these guys, playing them kind of back-to-back, if a couple guys start to pick up injuries, then other guys are playing out of position, that kind of stuff, like real important pieces are missing for long stretches. And that's what always makes me nervous, because it's like, with the USL, if you go fall into a hole, it's hard to dig yourself out of it. So that's the primary thing that makes me nervous. Players to keep an eye out for. I mean, let me check to make sure I haven't signed anybody since I started talking to you. But the ones I was thinking this morning, I was going to say up front, Lucky Moksana, because he was running out last week. You know, he's an older guy, but he was running all over the place. He was up on offense as a striker, but he was back on defense, like making tackles. He was doing all kinds of stuff. And, you know, the history with Lucky against Pittsburgh, he scored a few goals. The Pittsburgh fans might remember he's the one in 2013 on opening night for Highmark Stadium, scored the go-ahead goal for the City Islanders to for them to win the match and spoil the opening.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
I don't know.
Okay.
You know, he hasn't been with the team for a while, but so that's, you know, he's kind of like the Kevin Kerr is to us, Lucky Moksana is to the Riverhounds. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah.
How Kevin Kerr just always seems to go off and score a bunch of goals against Harrisburg. That was his whole thing.
And I was going to say, to your credit, I guess John Krasinski actually talked to Kevin Kerr earlier today, and Kevin said that this, like watching tape on Penn FC, he thought this was the best Harrisburg team he has seen in quite some time. So
cool.
I think you guys have some things going for you. And I think that's what makes me a little bit nervous. As fans, we can sort of look at the scoreline from the most recent game, and we can even look back to the preseason game that we played against you guys. But they're very different teams now, even though it was just a few weeks ago that we played. So, I think you guys could be sneaky.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean...
Yeah, it's one of those things where anytime they get together, it's just all out the window. Just you're back at square one.
Yeah. I think that's all we have, at least in terms of asking you about Harrisburg, before we dive into specifics about this game. Are there any questions about the Riverhounds that we can answer for you here?
I wanted to ask, Penn FC had a hard time with offense in our first game, but when Pittsburgh played Nashville, you guys were having a hard time with offense. Got a couple shots that were hard for Matt Pickens to save, I saw, but what do you think is going to be your best offensive threat going forward? Like, do you think you're going to, that was just like a fluke to be held scoreless on that one? What are the offensive chances going forward?
Yeah, I think if you go back and listen to the Mongol show on Monday night that they did, they talked about this idea that I think Lilly really went into Nashville and wanted to suck all the energy out of that stadium and just really kill all the energy that a 19,000 person crowd brings to a stadium. And so in the first half, we came and just kind of pinged the ball around, just passed the ball around, fouled, got the ball out of bounds, cleared balls, didn't really try to put too much of an offensive threat going forward. And so I didn't think about that before the game. And so the first half of the game, I was like, oh, man, like I don't like this at all, and was super nervous about it. But going into the second half, and I think the way we came out in the second half in the first 15 minutes, really encouraged me. I thought we made some good plays on the break. I thought we had, looking at guys like Romeo Parks and Cristiano Francois, and the way that they can run at defenders, but then secondly, the way that they can be creative in the box. I think a couple of our chances were set up by little backheel flicks and things like that that I have not seen out of Pittsburgh, at least since Rob Vincent has been here. So it just hasn't been something that I've seen in the last couple of years. So there was some creativity there that I really liked. So I think what we came up against was a really good goalkeeper having a really good game. And he had one last week against Louisville as well, and he had another one against us. And so I'm actually not too worried about our offensive chances. I think we needed to put a few more shots on goal here and there. I think there were some times where we could have taken some long distance stuff that would have caused some saves and just put some defenders on edge that we didn't take. But I think other than that, I was actually highly encouraged by our offense. You know, Francois hit the post, Pickens had a couple saves, and I think just, you know, a couple inches here or there, we would have had two or three goals against Nashville. So,
okay, and one other thing I wanted to ask about is, do you guys know what's up with Chevy Walsh? I mean, this whole Tommy Heinemann thing got me thinking. You know, right after him, there was the announcement about Chevy Walsh. They found in his favor about something. Like, is he coming back to Pittsburgh? Are they like doing a new contract, or what? Do you know what's going on there?
We honestly haven't heard anything. Basically, we had heard that he was no longer with the team, and then he was still showing up to preseason games. Like, he was in the stands, and everyone, even at that point, you know, we reached out to the team. There was no feedback. Reached out to him, didn't really hear anything either. And then finally, you know, when the, like you mentioned, when the league sent down the order on Heinemann, they immediately sent one down on Chevy as well. So we all went, oh, okay. So there was something that was going on, and they decided in his favor. But beyond that, there's been no news. So, you know, this could be a similar situation where all of a sudden we look up and he's signed for Penn FC, or he signed for somebody else. Some other team has picked him up. I would hate, I mean, considering his age, considering the promise that he showed last year, I would hate for him to miss out an entire season because of some sort of dispute that ultimately the USL decided in his favor for. So even if he doesn't play with the Hounds, even if he goes and plays for Penn FC, I would be happy for him as a person that he gets the opportunity to continue to grow and play and compete. But otherwise, we haven't heard anything about sort of where he could land or what his current status is.
Okay. Yeah, I'm seeing a lot of that on like Twitter and stuff too for Tommy Heinemann. The people are like, "Hey, just glad that you get to play this year."
Yeah.
You know, even at Cincinnati, people are like, "You know, sorry you couldn't play for us, but hey, I'm glad you glad you don't have to sit out or anything." Which is cool to see.
Yeah, I mean, I think especially in the USL, you know these guys aren't making oodles of cash, so you really sort of want to root for them as individuals. And we get to know a lot of the players on the team as well on a personal level. And so even when they leave to go play for another team, it's like you're losing a friend. So you really just want to see these guys. You know that not that they're struggling, but you know that they're just doing everything they can to just keep playing. And so you sort of want to root for them in that regard.
Right, like Mo Dabo.
Yeah, exactly. So let's do this. We mentioned already that, you know, this team has already squared off once in this preseason. The Hounds won 3-2. The game was full of penalties. I guess, you know, yeah. Chris, do you think we're going to see a lot of penalties in this game?
I'd say no, because if you give up a penalty in a preseason game, it's like the coach might yell at you. I feel like it's a bigger deal. I feel like the kind of stuff that the people were doing to get penalties in the preseason, hopefully they've sorted that out by now.
Do you think
it'd be fun? But I was going to say, I'm not betting on it.
Justin, are you envisioning a physical game here, or do you think that both teams are going to sort of lock it down and just try to focus on getting the win?
No, for sure. I think it's going to be physical. I feel like every time Penn FC Harrisburg comes to town, it's like it's a physical, it's a dogfight. There are players yelling at each other out on the field, and the way that Highmark is with the field or the stands being like right on top of the field, you hear all that too. And I feel like there needs to be a filter, a language filter coming off the field for Penn FC games,
like a little bubble over the field to protect kids. Yeah,
yeah,
that's funny.
Oh yeah. Oh, there'll be plenty of cards. I'm expecting lots of fouls and cards and stuff.
Cards and fouls.
But whether it's whether it's going to get all the way into like into the box, we'll see.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. So let's do this. We'll do some finish the sentence sort of thing that we'd like to do here on the preview show. So, Chris, if Penn FC win, it'll be because.
It'll be because they went eye to eye and Pittsburgh blinked. Like some it's going to be like a 1-0 thing where like some defender just does a half-hearted clearance or somebody makes a sloppy pass and it's just going to be one quick blink and you miss it mistake that gets a goal and then it's just locked down the rest of the match.
Fair enough.
Is it, what I think.
If Penn FC loses, it'll be because
It'll be because Pittsburgh found a weakness and they were able to exploit it. Because I don't think you can show any weakness when you're at Highmark. Like if your central defenders are having an off night or if there's a problem on the right side, Bobo is gonna see it and he's gonna take advantage and that'll be that.
Fair enough. Justin, same to you. If the Riverhounds win, it'll be because?
I want to say simply because they score a goal, but I think it will be that the offense clicks together the way they did in the first 15 minutes of the second half last week. I thought they just played a really good first 15 minutes. The passes were crisp. They were incisive. They were through defenders, and they were able to move the ball down the field and put it in good positions in the box. So I think if they win, it'll be because they can do that on a more consistent basis and do it from the start of the game.
And if they lose, it'll be because?
I think the same thing that we did to Nashville last week. I think I'm a little worried about an early goal kind of killing the crowd energy in Pittsburgh. I think the Pittsburgh fan base is kind of sitting on edge of like, we really like where this team is headed, but if Penn FC comes in and gets a quick goal in the first 15 minutes or something like that, just kills the energy in the stadium because everyone's like, oh, this again? I think I could see the team going downhill.
Yeah, flashbacks from seasons past.
Yes.
Let's do this. Score predictions, gentlemen. Chris, what do you got?
I was thinking about this. And I kept coming back to thinking it's just going to be another like a nil-nil draw, but my final predictions. I think Pittsburgh will get a 1-0 win at home.
Okay, I'm not going to argue with that, Justin.
yeah, I'm actually going to go. I feel like these games are just crazy, so I think I'm going to go 3-1 to the Hounds. I think they figure it out offensively. I think defensively we might give up something just because of how scrappy the game can be, you know, a penalty, something like that. So I think 3-1 Hounds.
And I guess I'll say it sounds like, you know, we played at the beginning of this. You guys didn't hear this at all. So I apologize. But John Krasinski talked to Bob Lilly, and it sounds like he's really going to try to go for it in this game. So I don't think that the Hounds keep Penn FC off the score sheet. I think that they may get a sneaky one. But Justin, I like the 3-1 prediction, so I guess I'll say 3-1 as well. Regardless, it's going to be an entertaining game. I think, you know, everybody across the USL knows what this rivalry is and is going to be tuning in to watch it. So definitely, you don't want to miss it. The game is this Saturday, 7 p.m. It's the Hounds' first home game of the season, as well as, we said, the first Keystone Derby match of 2018, which the Hounds currently own, but the boys in blue are coming to try to take it away from us. Chris, this has been fantastic. Thank you so much for stopping by. Everyone be sure to go follow Chris on Twitter at @C_Brat, B-R-A-T, and read his stuff over at the Brotherly Game. And
thanks for having me.
Absolutely, man. Anytime. And thanks to our sponsor, Roughneck Scarves, official scarf supplier to MLS, USL, and US Soccer. Get custom scarves for your group or team at roughneckscarves.com. Head over to iTunes, subscribe to the show, and leave us a review. And get down to Highmark and cheer on the boys this weekend. Talk to everyone really soon.